want us to sing just two worship choruses, and then we'll go into the word of the Lord.
I will worship you, lift you high above the earth and the heavens. You are Lord. You are Lord. Yes, you are. I will worship. I will worship you. Lift you high upon the earth and the heavens. You are Lord. You are Lord. Yes, you are. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, our God. You are worthy to be praised. Let's sing you Alpha. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, our God. You are worthy to be. Yes, we give him glory. We give you the glory. We worship you, our God. You are worthy to be. One more time, we'll give you all the glory. We give you the glory, and we worship you. We worship you, our God. You are worthy to be praised. Father, we just thank you this morning. We bless your wonderful name and we worship you. You are so excellent. You are so special, God. And Father, we are eternal debtors to you, God. We owe you so much. And this morning, we are here to pay our sacrifices of worship. Thank you for everything that you have done. We just welcome your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, each and every one of us have stories in our lives. And some of us have good stories that we wish to share to other people about what God has done for us. And oftentimes we're so excited to tell people about the goodness of God. But there are some of us who have not so good stories. We have bad stories in our lives. And those stories we do not wish to share to anybody. And sometimes those stories are eating us up secretly in our heart. I mean, we cannot even tell our secret friends. We cannot even tell our partners. And those stories are disturbing us on the inside. And oftentimes we come to church, we go through the motion, we praise God, we lift up holy hands. But behind closed doors, we shed tears. Because our hearts are heavy and are broken. But this morning, no matter what stories you have in your life this morning, God is saying to you, you have the power to change those stories. And so, I'm going to be talking this morning on the topic, change the story. Hallelujah.
God has given you the power to change the story. In 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8, the Bible tells us the devil moves around like a roaring lion, seeking those whom he may devour. Now that suggests to us that the devil gets up in the morning, he goes around handing out trouble to people. He distributes problems to people. The devil runs around trying to change your story from a positive one to a negative story. Because the devil revels in negativity. The devil likes when your story does not appeal to people. But when you stand up and you begin to praise God and say, God, I thank you for what you have done for me. Thank you for the things you have accomplished in my life. And when you begin to praise God in the sanctuary, the devil does not like that. In fact, the Bible says we overcame him by our testimonies, amen. And so when you begin to testify about the goodness of God, the devil does not like good testimonies. And so he walks around trying to change your story from a good one to a negative one. He moves as a roaring lion seeking those whom he may devour. But when Jesus appeared on the scene, in Luke chapter 4 verse 18, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Hallelujah! I mean, Jesus appeared to change our story. Let us read it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach the deliverance to the captive, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. That's wonderful. And so Jesus came to turn things around. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know your story this morning, but I want you to know that God is interested in turning around your story. God wants to make your story a story that will be a challenge to other people and cause them to bless the name of the living God. Hallelujah. Well, you will ask me, Pastor, how can we change our story? One means, or one weapon through which we can change our story is a weapon of prayer. Hallelujah. If you are a man of prayer, you can be a man that can change so many stories. Hallelujah. But I want us to realize that in talking about prayer, there are so many things that prayer entails. And so this morning I want us to go to Luke chapter 11, which I believe is the teaching of Jesus on prayer. The 101 teaching of Jesus Christ on prayer. Luke chapter 11, verse 1 to verse 4. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he sees one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as one of his disciples, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sin. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, when you look at this particular prayer, Jesus was teaching his disciples the underlying principles of prayer. He says, when you pray, say, Our Father. So which means the first principle is the principle of relationship. If God is your Father and you have a relationship with God, that whenever you ask God for something in prayer, God will move to answer you. So relationship is vital to the granting of our requests when we make them to God. Like for instance, you have two kids. The one gets up in the morning. He leaves early before you can even get up and goes away. And comes home late at night when you guys have already gone to bed. And then you say, Jane, can you please do the laundry for me today? Please, I'm late for work, I'm going. And she said, okay, Mama, I'll do the laundry.
And when you come back from work, you say, Jim, have you got the Lord? Oh my gosh, I forgot. In fact, Mama, I'm going somewhere. When I come back, I'll do it again. But you have a lot of child who always come close to you. He gives you a kiss before you go to bed. He wakes you in the morning with a kiss. I mean, he's so close to you. That if those two kids will make a request to you, which of those two kids you will move to give, to grant a request. I believe the person who is close to you, right? And so relationship is very vital in prayer. And so when Jesus says, when you pray, say, Our Father, he was saying to us, you must develop your relationship with God. You must have an intimate relationship with God. If you have an intimate relationship with God, when you ask God for something, God will move to answer your request. It is vital. And for some of us, we have a very casual relationship. You get up in the morning, say 2-3 words to God. God, I thank you for this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. You go to work. When you come back at night, Father, I bless you for my work. Thank you for my food. You go to bed. And that's it. You come back on a Sunday morning. We have a casual relationship. Relationship demands time. If you must build a relationship with God, you must put time into it. And so you must set apart a time that you spend with God. A time that you talk to God. Hallelujah. And you must build that relationship to a level of an intimate relationship. And when you go on your knees, having built such a relationship, when you cry unto God, God will answer your prayers. Relationship is very vital. We must seek to build that relationship. And I cannot understand the challenge we face in this country. We don't have much time. We are so busy. We barely fit God into our schedules. But that should not be the case. God should be the priority. God should be the number one. Other things must fit into God's schedule. Hallelujah. Because your relationship with God is what you need to change the story of your life. Our Father, who art in heaven. And the second principle is embedded in the second phrase, hallowed be thy name. Which means that we must reverence God. Let your name be hallowed in my lips. Let your name be respected in my life. Let your name be sanctified in my life. And so if you reverence the Lord in your life, in all your dealings with God, when you call upon the name of the Lord will answer you. The Bible says we must not use the name of the Lord in vain. We must respect the Lord God Almighty. And so this means that if you do not reverence God, if you walk into the sanctuary of the Lord and you call upon the Lord, you look like a stranger in the presence of God. But when you reverence God, when you sanctify God in your heart, when you call upon the Lord, it's kind of pull God towards you. Because when you reverence God, it brings you closer to the Lord. Hallelujah. And so reverence is vital to the granting of our request, even as we cry to the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. And then, we want to also look at the other phrase that tells us, it says, Thy kingdom come. Now the principle here talks about altruism, dedication to the welfare of others. Now most of us, when we go to God in prayer, we only pray for ourselves. God, bless my child. God, bless me in finances. God, bless my home. God, bless me. But don't bless that lady over there. We don't think about our neighbors. We don't even pray for our neighbors. But Jesus is saying that when you pray, say, Thy kingdom come. So God is broadening our spectrum from just being ourselves to embracing the entire kingdom of the Lord. It's not just about you. It's about God's children universally. And so when you pray, remember the children of the Lord. And even as you sit here, as you worship the Lord, there are people in other parts of the world who are struggling, going through pain, going through suffering for the sake of Jesus. When you pray, remember them. Thy kingdom come. So God was saying,
When you pray that God will rule in the hearts of men, God will rule in nations, God will rule in cities, God will rule in neighborhoods. And when God begins to rule wherever we are, then truly we can say, Thy kingdom has come. Hallelujah. And the other principle, give us this day our daily bread. It is talking about specificity. When we pray, we must be specific. Give us this day. Not just give us our daily bread, but give us this day our daily bread. When you pray, don't pray arbitrarily. Tell God what you want and be specific. Like when I was doing my paperwork, I woke up one morning and said, Brother Lamin, I'm going to buy my ticket, I'm going. And in fact, I've never even heard from the immigration guys, but I should hear from them before this week ends. And when the invitation comes for the oath of ceremony, it should not be more than 2 weeks. So I'm buying my ticket just around that time. And I pray specifically. And the next one or 2 days, I went to the mail. I checked my mail, and there was it, the letter was in. God answers specific prayers. Give us this day our daily bread. That's a very vital principle. Hallelujah. You know, it reminds me of a dream I heard. And in this dream, it's like the plane was about to crash. And then somebody was praying for the plane. And he said, oh God, please keep the plane up there. He said, plane, I command you to keep flying. In the name of Jesus, do not fall, keep flying. Hallelujah. I mean, many times when we pray to God, I mean, we pray so beggarly. We pray as if we are cowards. It is time for us to pray like children of the Lord, like servants of the Lord. Command the devil, hallelujah. The Bible says, when the Spirit of God moved over the face of the deep, God said, let there be light, and there was light. So there should come a time when you take your stand in prayer and say, God, this is what I want. And the Lord will give it to you. Hallelujah. The other phrase says, it says, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the principle there is conformity. In other words, whatever happens to heaven must also happen to earth. Let earth conform to what is happening in heaven. Hallelujah. Earth's activities and everything that happens on this earth must also look like what happens in heaven. But that will always start from you. If you are praying for conformity on this earth, it must start with you. Your life must conform with the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible says, be ye transformed. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because conformity, to the glory of God's kingdom, starts from within. You must be a child of the Lord. You must walk as a king. You must live in holiness. You must live in righteousness. You must reflect the lifestyle of heaven, conformity. And I tell you, when your life begins to conform to that heavenly life, when you appear before God to make your request, the angels will say, He's one of us. He looks like us. Let's answer Him. Conformity. Hallelujah. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Mercy and forgiveness. Now, if you're asking God for something, and deep down in your heart, you owe something against somebody, then what are you talking about? Now, God is saying here, if you want me to answer your request, you must first of all forgive your brothers and your sisters. Whatever sins, whatever they've done against you, go and release them. Go and forgive them. And when you come before me and you ask me for something, I will give it to you. Because when you begin to harbor those things in your mind that people have done against you, they kind of block the passage of the blessings of God towards you. So you must make sure you empty yourself of every unforgiveness when you come to make your request before God. You must make sure you cleanse your heart when you stand before the Lord. Because unforgiveness will block the passage of the blessings of God. Mercy. Be merciful unto others, even as you want God to be merciful unto you. That's the principle that underlines a very powerful prayer. And the last principle I want to look at is, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That will talk about sanctification and dedication. In other words, God, I want my life to be so dedicated to you that I don't want to walk willfully into sin. In fact, whenever I'm confronted with sin, oh God, help me to overcome. Because I want to live a life of total dedication. My life is sanctified, set apart for you. I don't want it to be ruined by the presence of sin. And I tell you the truth, if you have all these principles in place, your life is conformed, to that of heaven. You are specific in your prayers. You reverence God. You have a relationship. You show mercy to other people. Then I tell you, when you stand before the Lord and you cry unto the Lord, God will answer you speedily. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Friends, I want us to know that you can change the story of your life. And this now takes me to the very crux of my message, which is in Luke chapter 18. Because in Luke 18, Jesus added another principle. Jesus kind of raised the bar to answer prayer. Let's go to Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. That's where we're going to spend the rest of our time. So please bear with me. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 18. Verses 1 to 8, I believe. It reads, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Hallelujah. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. How many times do you pray? Or how passionately do you pray? Always to pray and not to faint. So here God is suggesting that we should not be casual in our prayers or ceremonial in our prayers. It should be always, and we should not faint when we pray. So which means there is a tendency for men to faint when they pray. You come to God and say, God, please give me X and Y. And God refused to give it to you. And because of that, you refuse to pray again. And after you pray two or three times, you forget about it. But God is saying here, you should not faint. It's an attitude of a person who refused to give up. God, I will not give up unless you give me what I'm asking for. That's the attitude. Hallelujah. God, I'm not going to back down until you give me what I'm asking for. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And that's the purpose, that's the principle, or that's the lesson behind the story. That we should pray always and never be faint-hearted. Hallelujah. And Jesus proceeded to tell the story to back the principle, to back the lesson behind what he was talking about. And he said, let us get in verse 2. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regard man. Let's look at that for a moment. He said, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither have any regard for man. You know, when I looked at this particular verse, it reminds me of the concern that God has for his people. And that concern is not just a worldly or a global concern, it's a personal concern. So which means, God has a concern for you personally as you're sitting here. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. But I want you to let God so love you in such a way that as if you are the only person in this world. That's how God loves you. He loves the world, all of us. But he loves you so personally, as if you are the only guy he created. And so Jesus, in telling his story, he chose a country. And in that country, he chose a city. And in that city, he chose a family. And in that family, he chose an individual. An individual with a very elite profession, a judge. In that city, there was a judge. And so, I want you to understand this morning that God knows you. He knows what you're going through. Even things that I don't know of. Even things even Pastor Yato does not even know. God knows you personally. He knows all your problems. He knows all your trials. He knows all your sorrows. The things you do behind closed doors, God is aware of them. He'll know you personally. He loves you personally. Hallelujah. And so God cannot zero in on this guy, this church. It is a big city. There was a church. And the Bible tells us about the character of the judge. He had no fear of God. He had no regard for man. You know, I want to point something out here this morning. I want us to understand that anybody who lacks the fear of God will automatically cease to have respect and regard for man. I mean, the two are mutually exclusive. And that's the dangerous thing America is caught in of late. America has said, yes, you can throw God out of a nation and still have respect for men. You can kick God out of universities. You can kick God out of our schools. But you can still have respect for men. It does not work. Right. You must have respect for God in your heart if you must pay respect to men. They go hand in hand, they go together. Respect for God must also follow respect for man. And when you say, I can love God, I can walk with God and still not have respect for men, doesn't work. The Bible says, love the Lord with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. These two are the greatest commandments. Love for God and love for your friend and neighbor. And if you claim to love God, you love your neighbor, then check your love. Hallelujah. Because if you love God, you should love your neighbor. And so this church did not have respect for men. He saw men as numbers. He saw men as currencies. He saw men as a means to his end. He saw men as something he can use to get what he wants. This church, I believe, was a very corrupt church. Yeah, he was a church who would always put justice on the shelf for sale. In this city, there was a church. But the Bible also points to us the category of time that the church was living. There was a church. The Bible did not say there is a church. It said there was a church, which means the church has already passed. He died years ago. But he died without changing the story of his life. He died without working on his desire to fear God and to respect men. Friends, I want us to know this morning, if you are alive, this is the time to change your story. If you are alive, this is the time to call on the name of the Lord. This church, I believe, would have wished that he lived again to change the script of his story. But the Bible says it was late. There was a church. Look into your hearts this morning. What is it that you want to change or that needs to be changed? God is saying to you, should be done now. Hallelujah. When you are alive, that's the time to change your story. Hallelujah. The Bible also tells us that in that same city, there was a widow. So the Bible kind of opened our eyes to the crippling condition of this woman. It was a widow. To be a widow in those days was very terrible. But those are days when women were treated as minors. Women were not allowed to even enter into contract. The husband must do it for them. Now these were days before the women's liberation movement. Hallelujah. And the Bible says this widow had a problem in her life. And he went to the judge. He said, judge, I have a problem. But I want to paint a picture for you. Now, Jesus did not tell us the story of the widow. But in those days, the common things, when a husband died and leaves a property for a widow, I mean, the extended families will come in and take the property from the widows. And so, when a widow lived in those days without any means of survival, then that widow is close to death. It was a terrible situation. Very, very terrible. And so, I believe in my heart that probably, when the husband died, Your son left a piece of land for this widow. And then the uncle came around and said, widow, we want that property. We want to do some farming on that land. And the widow said, over my dead body, that property was given to me by my husband, and I'm going to keep it. But this uncle was a very prominent uncle. He has connections in high places. He has connections to the church. And so, he wanted to take this piece of land. And the woman said, I will go and meet the judge myself. And the woman walked up to the judge and said, judge, I have a case. And according to this case, I'm supposed to win. This is my right. And the judge refused to listen to the woman. Probably, she did not come with any white envelope with money in it. So, I'm not going to even listen to you. He did not listen to the woman. But the Bible tells us the woman kept coming again. She kept coming again and again and again. And sometimes the judge will say, throw her out of my courtroom. I don't want to listen to her. But the woman will not go. She will order to the pillars of the courtyard. And so over my dead body, I must have my light. She will not go. She kept coming. She kept coming. She kept coming until the judge said, even though I do not fear God, I can even confess that I don't have regard for her. But because this woman keeps on troubling me, I am going to give her the right to her case. I'm going to give her justice. Hallelujah. Importunity. The woman kept coming. God is saying to you this morning, keep on coming to me. Keep coming to me, hallelujah. Keep making those requests. Keep crying to me. Keep calling on the name of the Lord. Because when you call upon the name of God consistently, God will answer you. Are you tired of praying? We don't even have time to pray. God is saying to you, do not be faint-hearted. Hallelujah. Keep pray, keep believing, and keep trusting the Lord. But you know something that struck me in this passage is the roadblocks this woman overcame to get her request. She was a total stranger to the judge. She did not know the judge. She had no connections. The number two roadblock was the fact that the judge was a man who has a stony heart. She had a very hard heart. But the woman go past that heart, hallelujah. The other roadblock was the fact that the woman lacked resources. She did not have the financial power to back a request. She also lacked social resources. She had no connections in high places. The woman also had a roadblock of the fact that the judge was a very self-centered judge. He cared only about himself. Now with all of those hurdles standing on the way of the woman, she jumped over them. She jumped over those hurdles and she got a request. Hallelujah. And so God is saying to you, no matter what stands your way, jump over them. Go under them. Go around them. Fly over them. But get what you want. In the name of Jesus. You can change your story. God created man in his image and likeness. When Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he was also saying, when you receive the Holy Ghost in your life, you can change things. Amen. And so, Jesus Christ is not here bodily, in bodily form. But you are here, and you are representing Jesus. Amen. And Jesus is depending on you to change the story of this world. Jesus is depending on GMI Church to change the story of America. Jesus is depending upon GMI Church to change the story of this neighborhood. Jesus Christ is depending upon this church to change the story of the lifestyle of man. America is becoming something else. But I thank God that you guys are here. God has called you to make a difference in this nation. And God is saying you can change the story. If the script of the story runs like this, America is becoming so sinful. I mean, to the extent that they have no regard for God. And even churches ordain homosexual preachers. And all this script, this negative script. Jesus is saying, GMI Church, you can change the story.
Hallelujah. My dear brothers and sisters, Jesus closed the story with a very sharp contrast between the judge and God Almighty, who is the everlasting judge. Jesus said, this judge is a very wicked judge, but the God that you have is a good God. Jesus said, that woman had no access to the judge, but you have access to God. Jesus said, that judge was a very selfish judge. He will only give justice to those who have money to give, but Jesus Christ will give you without even a dime. That's the contrast. That's the God that we serve. He's a good God. He's a wonderful God. He's a gracious God. And so if the woman can overcome those hurdles to get what she wants, I'm saying to you, with a good God behind us, we can and we could be able to get things done. Hallelujah. Because God is good all the time. Well, let's imagine something. Let's tell the story the other way around. That story could have been changed to something like this. In a city, there was a judge, a very good and kind judge, who was actually interested in people's life. And there was a widow who had a problem. And the widow came to him and said, judge, please give me justice. And the judge looked at her and said, oh, my dear lady, what's the problem? And the woman said, I have a big problem. I have this piece of land. And my neighbor, my cousin is coming up to me. And the judge will say, you know what? I will not stand and allow such injustice to go on. I'm going to make sure you get your land again. That could have been the story. But how do we change our story from a negative one to a positive one? It's by going on our knees. It's by calling on the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now when I look at this entire story, I gleaned from this story two things. Number one, we should pray for those in authority. The judge was a man of power. And if you have a corrupt judge in authority, there is no way you will get justice. Amen. That's why the Bible says we should pray for those in authority. Yes. When we have God-fearing judges, when we have judges who have respect for men, then justice will be dispensed in the right way. Amen. And number two, we must pray for the lost. This judge was lost. He was on his way to hell. And God needed somebody to change that story. That's why Jeremiah comes in. There are many lost people in this city. Jeremiah Church, you can change your story. That's why God has planted you in this city. To change the story of those who are lost and going to hell and bring them over to eternal life. So those are the two stories. Prayer point that I glean from this scripture. And so in conclusion, God is saying to us, no matter how negative your story is, no matter how stinking your story is, it can be changed. And you have the power to change it. Don't walk around like as if you're defeated. I'm finished. Who will help me? Oh, don't do that. Hallelujah. Rise up. Walk into the presence of God. As a situation, hear the word of the Lord. You will be changed in Jesus' name. You will be transformed in the name of Jesus. And begin to speak the word of God. Begin to speak the situation and things will change. The devil knows that we are becoming so cowed. We don't even know who we are. He's aware of that. These are Christians who have power. The most powerful weapon on the face of the earth. Yes. Prayer. Yes. What are they doing with it? They walk in like a city of the most defeated people. Rise up, church. Cry unto the Lord. And things will change. Yes. As I spoke today, I am trusting God. That you will not just squeeze God into your schedule. You will make God your schedule. Yes. And you will pray that things will change. Yes. In the name of Jesus. God bless you. And may God be with you. I'm going to miss you guys when I'm gone, but I will always call and communicate and keep in touch. Hallelujah. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just want to thank you. I just want to bless your wonderful name. And God, I know that many of us have stories we don't even wish to share. Stories of husbands who are mean. Stories of wives who lack love. Stories of bosses, employees who are so terrible. We have stories of children who would not read their books. They would not study. But oh God Almighty, there is no story on the face of the earth that cannot be changed. I pray you empower the people. Give them the grace and the strength to always keep coming to you until they receive what they're asking for. Bless this church. Make this church a great church in Jesus' name. Make this church grow so powerfully so that, Father, the glory thereof will spread to all the city thereof. And all over Phoenix and Tucson and all over Flagstaff, I ask that the glory of this church will just be spreading. And people will hear the goodness of the Lord. And they will say, come and let us go to that house of the Lord and see what the Lord is doing. Use this church to be a blessing to souls, that souls will be saved, that lives will be transformed in the name of Jesus. Father, we just thank and honor you. Through Jesus Christ, we ask it all. Amen. God bless you.